It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin's Recovery Voucher Program provides a new round of grants for organizations that cover rent costs for people to live in recovery residences. We check in on a grant program that targets residents who are experiencing homelessness and struggle with opioid use disorder. Call in with a question. Share your comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dawana Bremer is director of Salvation Army Grace Place in New Richmond, offering services and shelter to low-income individuals and families in western Wisconsin. Dawana, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for inviting me this morning.
Yes, and Cheryl Dietrich is here as well, president and CEO of NewCap, a community action agency providing services for low-income people and families in northeast Wisconsin. Cheryl, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Good morning, Dawana. I hope you're well today.
I am. Is everybody staying warm?
Indeed. Well, Cheryl, let's start with you. This is your organization's second time receiving the grant. What is the structure of the recovery housing services for people who receive the grant at NewCap?
Well, the structure is they folks who are seeking these services contact us. We have them initially work with one of our crisis mitigation coaches to have them go through an initial process to make sure that they are presumptively eligible, that they meet the definition of homelessness, that they are seeking recovery help, and that there may be a bed available for them in a site in our area. Actually anywhere in the state that we can connect them with. Then they work with one of our content specialists who helps them do all that heavy lift of the paperwork that we have to do to guarantee that they're enrolled correctly and that everything is done properly. And then they enter a recovery residence. We pay for their care while they are there, for the cost of them to be there, and support them while they are on that part of their journey.
So through the grant, organizations received $125,000, and the requirements for how the funding can be used has changed. How is NewCap using the funds from Wisconsin's Recovery Voucher Program?
One of the things that we're doing differently this year is that, first of all, last year we only were able to help individuals who were moving into recovery. Now we can help families as well. As we all know, when someone that we love in our family is going through a difficult time, then the entire family struggles. And when you're talking about substance use disorders and homelessness, then that is especially true. So we're able to help families, which we are very excited about, and we're using a whole family approach to do that. Then we can also pay for coaching, and our coaching model is part of our whole family approach, but the coaching really starts when they leave recovery. We work with a family, if there is one, while the individual is a resident of the recovery center, and then when they move out of recovery, then we work the family and the person who is recovering from the substance use disorder anywhere from 1 to 3 years, depending on how long that particular individual or household would like to continue with coaching. We help each individual, if the family, with goal plans and then really help them along their journey. We transition from a case model and supervisor mentality about 2 years ago. We believe that it's their life, that they're adults with agency, and that our job is that we help them along the journey. We ride with them. We hold them accountable to their goals, and then they hold us accountable to what we promised to help them with and to be there for them and with them. This is a really, really difficult journey, and we know folks need a lot of support.
It's interesting you calling it crisis mitigation coaches and really coaching people through a really difficult period in life. And I would imagine the coaches also try to ensure that people don't have major setbacks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the most difficult thing that anyone will ever do. I mean, if you think about, so we're here in January where many of us have resolutions, and most of them, you know, are around our health. And we also know that most people fail in those within, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of setting your resolution, just because it is so difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Changing your life is really difficult. And in this particular instance, we have a chemical substance that has altered the chemistry of the brain. So people are trying to find new ways to deal with the struggles they're having and new coping mechanisms while they're trying to fight the way their brain has been rewired. It is very, very difficult, especially for this particular population of folks we're talking about, because if you are homeless, especially if you have a family, but if it's just, even if it's just you, if you don't know where you're going to sleep tonight or tomorrow night and the night after that, and if you don't know if you're going to be safe, and then if you add your children to that or your partner, you don't know if they're going to be safe, because one of the first things that happens when people become homeless is they usually become victimized. It happens very, very quickly. And I often say to community members and to community leaders who say, well, people just need to stop doing the drugs or doing whatever, and then their lives would be better. Well, first of all, way easier than said than done. And second of all, if I was homeless, and if I had children, I would certainly be reaching for something to help me dull that pain, whether it was alcohol or something else. So I can understand how it happens. In fact, I'm a little shocked that it isn't 100% of folks who are homeless aren't dealing with some sort of substance use disorder. We're talking about losing the most basic thing that humans need, which is shelter, especially in northern Wisconsin.
Juana, your organization operates an emergency shelter for the unhoused. How is your organization using its funding?
Yeah, our program is a little bit different. We are receiving referrals from treatment centers, from caseworkers, and the referrals come into our office, and our navigator connects with that particular individual. And there's a couple options. Our first priority is to get them into safe shelter. So if there is not any space available in any of the sober living facilities in our area, they will come into Grace Place until an opening occurs at one of the sober living facilities. During that time period, we will work with the individual to make sure that they are receiving any of their basic services, possibly food share. They may need help with getting some identification. And when you think about homelessness, first off, homelessness is a challenge in itself, coupled with an addiction issue. And I guess I look at our society and I don't think that there is probably one individual that addiction has not affected you in some way, either with a neighbor, with a family member, with someone in your church community. So it really affects all of us. So without even dealing with the sobriety issues, it is extremely challenging just to be homeless. I always think about this. You had one bag with your belongings. How do you keep all your important papers? That's virtually impossible. If sober living facilities are available, individuals will go right into a sober living facility. And again, we can help them with assistance for 2 to 3 years. The good news is, like Cheryl said, we can help families this year. One interesting thing that we have done is we are working with another group in our community that provides mentoring. And this is a mentor that is someone who is in sobriety that can work with the individual or the family and walk with them. One, they have firsthand experienced addiction issues, so they will be able to relate to that individual in a better way, some ways, than people that have not walked that same path. But again, our main goal is to get them into safe shelter immediately and then move them into a sober living facility as soon as possible. We are also working with the individual when, let's say, their stay is completed at a sober living facility, then where do they go?
They're
providing case management to help them secure housing, to secure a safe and stable place so they can continue on their path for recovery.
Duana Brimmer, you know, at Salvation Army Grace Place, and you're in the northwest part of the state, Cheryl Dietrich leading NewCap in the northeast part of the state, so kind of opposite places. But Duana, do you find, when you said placement, if available, do you find that there are vacancies for what the people who come to you need?
In most cases, I have to say, we can get the individual directly into a sober living facility. It's really, I mean, we are very, very fortunate. There are five sober living facilities located geographically in our area. We utilize all of them. In most cases, we can get them in pretty quickly. If there is a delay, then it's usually a week or less.
Okay.
So I have to say that's one area that we are very fortunate in our community that we have that accessibility.
Cheryl, when you're serving families, do you find that placement is more difficult?
Finding housing for anybody in our areas, and I'm sure in the Northwest as well, is very difficult. Affordable housing is an incredible need everywhere. It was before we've seen the really high raises in costs for housing. It's even more so now. So it is getting more. It is difficult. In our area, we serve three housing coalitions in the region that NewCap serves, and our unsheltered homelessness numbers have gone, frankly, through the roof. In fact, in November of 2020, in response to that, NewCap started doing emergency housing as well. We do an interim housing model for emergency shelter, but we serve only families, and we can serve six families at our site in Green Bay and six at our site in Shawano. And we are seeing more need than we can possibly serve in those. Dwana, we have six sites in our area that are recovering housing that we can get people into. We originally wrote to serve 34 individuals last year. We served 59. We were really surprised, not that the number of folks who needed the assistance, but that there were enough spaces available that we could find for them and that were available. I think there's always going to be more need than we have capacity for. I've been very happy to see with these funds that we're using money that was set aside from the recovery from the opioid recovery
Settlement
funds, the
funds.
legal funds, yeah, that they're actually going to what they were set for, that the cause was opioid and other drug disorders, and we're covering them, the recovery part, with this fund, where I'm very excited to see that we're really doing that. I gotta take my hat off to people who designed this program and set funds aside. But I think the gap in our area is we still need more housing that's available. We serve 10 counties, about 500,000, 600,000 humans altogether, just in our 10 counties. Half of them are here in Brown County. There are not enough sites here. But again, we can put people anywhere that there are sites available. As we're just seeing, especially that the word is getting out that this is available, then people are coming to us with more need as well. And our individuals, we don't have nearly enough beds for them, especially not for people who have disorder issues.
Cheryl Dietrich, President and CEO of NewCap, Dwana Bremer with us, Director of Salvation Army Grace Place in New Richmond, as we discuss recovery residences for people experiencing homelessness and who have a diagnosed opioid use disorder. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new round of grant funding to seven Wisconsin agencies helps to provide stable housing in what are called recovery residences for people who are experiencing homelessness and struggle with an opioid use disorder. Be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. You can share your insights at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Cheryl Dietrich with us, CEO of NewCap, and Dwana Bremer, who is director of the Salvation Army Grace Place in New Richmond. Let's bring in Kevin in Madison. Kevin, hi, go ahead.
Hi. I think my question is just peripherally related, but there have been a couple of cases where I've been down near downtown in Madison in the evening, like after dark, and I've come across somebody who's, lost or stranded. In one case, it was an elderly woman with a walker. In another case, it was a younger man who spoke very little English, and I didn't speak his language. And they just seem to need help. They don't have anywhere to go, apparently. And I never knew who to call or where to send them. In one case, I called the police, and that just seemed to be the wrong thing. They assumed I was calling because the person was causing trouble, and I don't think she was capable of causing trouble. She just needed help.
And Kevin, thank you. And I want Duana to respond. Duana, go ahead first.
Yeah, I'm thinking one of the best places in Madison, I think, to call would be the Salvation Army. They do operate, I believe, 2 shelters in the Madison area. Our shelter is located in northern Wisconsin, St. Croix County. So I'm not as familiar as I should be with shelters that are in Madison, but the Salvation Army would be a good place to start, and that would also provide you with a referral.
Cheryl, what can people do to help the situation?
Well, noticing it is one of the first things. What the caller said was really important. Noticing, so often we tend to look away from things that we don't know what to do with. So just noticing and trying to intercede is I think the first step. I know Madison has a very strong homeless and housing coalition in the Madison area. 211, especially in the more urban parts of the state, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, maybe Eau Claire, I know in the Green Bay area, it's pretty strong. So that's also a really good option that folks could call if they don't know a specific site to make a call to. And 211 can often do those on the spot referrals too.
Cheryl Newcap, as you have talked with us, develops affordable housing and recovery housing. There is coaching in the process. How does your organization approach relapse and maintenance medication for people with substance use disorder, like Suboxone, for instance?
We also have 6 health clinics, and we have behavioral counselors on site. So we approach this we try and surround people in what they need. So we do have those services available. As far as relapse, I think the reality is the vast majority of people are going to relapse, and they're going to need additional support. And I think more than anything, in addition to the medication supports and all of those recovery supports, we also use a peer specialist model that Duana mentioned that they use out in her area. And having somebody walk with you who's been through it, who knows this isn't I'm going to get this 10 pounds off and keep it off for the rest of my life. I'm going to stop smoking today and never start again. I'm going to recover from opioid disorder and never be tempted or never fall back. I think in most cases that tends to be fantasy, not reality. I think most of us can empathize with that just from our own lifestyle change struggles. So we stand with people. We know that they're going to struggle. Especially our peer support specialists, they have been there. So they don't make it okay for them to relapse. They make them know that they're not failures and that this is a journey. And it's a difficult one. There's nothing flat or straight about recovery. So I think that's the most important thing that the peer specialists bring to individuals and families. And I think they can also provide hope for families, saying to them and showing them, I was there, I went through it, my family went through it, and I'm here now. And I am still in recovery, but I'm here, and your loved one will be too. You're going to get through this, and we're not going to let you go. You're not going through it alone. You have support. So that's the most important thing that we do about relapse. But we do have medications available. We have the behavioral counselors, which I think are helpful, especially for that long-term process. Mm-hmm. And then we can help with Medicaid billing and Medicare billing and private insurance. We can cover all that. So we do have those things available.
Duana, the Recovery Voucher Program is in its second round of providing funding to Wisconsin organizations, and that funding expiring at the end of the year. Is this program successful enough for the funding to continue, do you think?
Oh, I think absolutely it is. We are in a very rural area, and last year we did provide assistance to 44 individuals, which, kind of like what Cheryl said, that was sort of shocking that we were able to help that many folks. One of the reasons, too, that I actually wrote for the funding is we were seeing a lot of people that came into our homeless shelter, and they were at a point where they were like, okay, I'm ready to leave, but I have nowhere to go that's safe. So we were thinking that with the recovery voucher, that would give them additional time to stay in sober living to work on their recovery, because relapse is part of addiction, unfortunately. And it's not that people want to relapse, it's just sometimes things happen. I do have to make a comment too. For us, if they're needing any additional medication, we do not even offer that in St. Croix County. Individuals have to drive all the way to Eau Claire.
Wow.
So that makes things a little bit more challenging and a little bit more of a hardship in a real rural area, because we don't have a lot of the services that some of the larger metropolitan areas have.
Cheryl, we only have about 10 seconds left. In terms of this program and these funds, do you see it as a successful enough to keep this funding to continue?
Absolutely. I think the numbers that of people that are being served and the successes that we're seeing, even though we're only at the very beginning of year two, I think they're impressive. I think they meet the goals that were set out for the program. I think they meet the goals that were set out for this entire settlement of the opioid funding. I think that it should be done. And like Dawn, I think the most difficult places to do this program are in rural Wisconsin, though urban Wisconsin has its challenges because not enough sites. So,
but thank you both so much for joining us there. Cheryl Dietrich, CEO of NewCap, Dawna Bremer, Director of Salvation Army Grace Place. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.